sweet. In Psalms 145, she gave a beautiful word from this precious Psalms 145 concerning the majesty, the glory, the beauty of the kingdom, and it states the order of the kingdom, how the kingdom will operate, the government of the kingdom. What you have to understand, we have a government in this county. We have a government in the state. We have a government in the country. Do you understand? You cannot run without a government. When you have no order and no government, no control, then it's lawlessness. If you don't have a governing laws about the speed, everybody will do what they want to do. So there will be an order in the kingdom. There's an order in the church. Now, you can violate the order of the church, but you don't get away. You can violate it, and it seems as if no judgment sometimes is coming, but it is. But not so for the kingdom. Not so for the kingdom. You see the things that you do in the church, and the way you treat the church, the way you operate in the church, you cannot operate that in the kingdom. So the church is to orientate you concerning the order of the kingdom. You listening? The church is to, because we are basically Gentiles. We don't know anything, hardly, about God. Before, in times past, Paul said we walk according to the course of this world. See, we didn't know, Ephesians 2, we didn't know anything. We grew up not knowing the order of God, the government of God. So we did that which was right in our own eyes. But the kingdom will be different. In Psalms 145 tells us that what verse was it? All thy works. Is it verse 10 down? Look at it. It says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. Are you sitting out there, or you don't want to praise God? You don't want to lift your hand, you sit and you're cold and you won't even praise him. You won't even open your mouth. Not so. Not so in the kingdom. It's not so in the kingdom. The order is different. That's why there has to be a kingdom. But now what God is doing is giving you, we're all on probations, and we are proving to God that if he puts us in the kingdom, we'll never be a troublemaker. We will not cause an offense. That's what the church is for. See, the way you operate, the way we operate in the church, if God were to put us in the kingdom like this, that's the way we would operate. That's why the church is to make changes in our lives. That's why do you think you have pastors and ministries? Why do you think that? So you'll obey. Well, I won't obey the pastor. I won't obey the ministry. I wish if I had another pastor, then I would obey. No, you would not. You would not. The same spirit that you operate in, you would do it. And so he said, all thy works, here's an order. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. God is going to get and receive glory out of all of his works. And thy saints shall bless thee. Are you blessing him today, or you just sit there? Yeah. Your mind is on the world. You cannot lift your hands. You cannot reach up. Are you blessing him with your presence in church? Are you listening? Yeah. Are you blessing him with your presence in church? Are you blessing him with your praises? Are you blessing him with your tithe and offering? You know what tithe is? Tithe is God's money that you're holding on to. That's all tithe is. In other words, tithe is what you owe God. It's not what God owes you. I know, but that's not yours. And will a man rob God? Yes, he will. And but not so the order of the kingdom, because of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. In other words, in the kingdom, you cannot cut a part of God's money to suit your well, it's not going well with me, so I think I'll take it and pay something else. You can't do that in the kingdom. And to encourage you, everything you owe God in the church, before you can rest in the kingdom, you'll have to pay. You don't believe that, but it's true. You'll have to pay it back. God, if you hold the government of the United States some money, you cannot escape. Let's put it that way. And verse what? Thy saints shall bless thee. Notice what you're going to be doing all day. We sometimes watch soap operas and you name it, or move and all these weird. That's not what you'll be doing. It's a total lifestyle in the kingdom. Because in the church, we think that we can do what we want to. But it's just because we don't understand. Because the ministry that God gave to the church for the perfection of the saints, they have the same authority. They have the same authority. It's kingdom authority. Amen. It's kingdom authority. So, thy saints, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak. I want you to follow this now. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. How are you going to speak of his glory unless you know the glory? You have to be taught the glory. And we beheld his glory. Amen. Have you seen that glory? And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You have to see the glory. And we are going from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I like this. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. That is wonderful. If you cannot get a revelation on that you're going to speak. What do you speak when you speak? When you get on your feet, what do you talk about? Somebody's problem? That's not the glory. You talk about what's going on in your life? That's not glory. See, it's what lift up Jesus, the awesome power of God. When you begin to focus on that and get your mind off yourself, get your minds off your problems, and if you have the glory of God and if your mind is on the glory, you would not miss church. You miss because you're confused, because you're mixed up, because you got all kind of stuff in your mind and you don't know which way is up or down. You don't know where you're going. And so you cannot see God as the lifter up of your head. You cannot see God as your glory. And you're confused with your problems. And that keeps you, you would stay home and cry. And think that if you cry and somebody's going to show sympathy. It's not sympathy that God goes by. It's grace and mercy and truth. And the scripture said, thy word is truth. And the Bible said, you honor the Lord with your substance. And if you don't, and you cut it short, you're going to find out what will happen to you. There's no defense. You take away. The Lord said, when you pay your tithe and offering, I will rebuke the devourer. That's why the devourers come in your mind and in your life. Your car can devour you. Every minute it broke down. You don't know that? Your house can devour you. There's always something broken and leaking, and you fix one, another one explodes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sickness can devour you. There's all kind of ways that can devour your own spirit, where you are always mean and miserable and you're uncomfortable to live with. Yeah, I mean, you find it hard living with yourself. See, you wake up in the morning and wish if you were not there. You wish if you were somebody else. Because misery. And you're hard to get along with. Have you ever found it hard to get along with yourself? You like to do something else, but you find yourself doing something else. But now you want God to help you. That's why we're in church. So you begin to speak of the glory of God and the kingdom of God. And here's what they're going to do. Talk of thy power. How much power does God have? Look at the universe. Look at where we brought you from. The power of God that broke the spell of the devil in your life. And we who were sometimes darkness. But now, look at this. Look at the difference right now. Are you listening? But now are we light. What one time you could not listen. You would not submit to anybody. But now, you found a ministry and you're submitting to the ministry, knowing that it's God's ministry. They shall talk of thy power. Okay? And to make known to the sons of men is mighty acts. That's what you do. That's the job. You get out there and put the message. What we're doing right now is making known to the sons of men around the world the mighty acts of God. How great is our God. Amen. Great is our Lord. And greatly to be praised. And when you speak of the power of God, you find yourself stepped down a few notches where you're not focused on yourself. But when you put yourself up there, I, me, mine, then you're going to have a fall. And you sit in the church, but you're not listening. Your mind is taken up with the outside. What's out there? What I can do? Can't wait for church to get over so I can do that. You can sit in church all the time and you don't hear a thing. And you're not changing. Your heart is still hard and your mind is not focused on the Lord. See, you can be in church for years and years and you haven't moved an inch towards God. And you go around the same mountain. For 40 years. Brother Ronald mentioned that 40 years wandering in the wilderness. A lot of us have done more than 40 years. We've been going around a long time. But look, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of his power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. And the glorious, I feel like shouting. Look at that. And the glorious, aren't you feel like shouting? Huh? And the glorious majesty of what? Thy kingdom. See, the kingdom will be filled with majesty because God will be there. Because Jesus will be there. The majesty and I. God is holy. He dwells in the holy place. He dwells and I. To make known to the sons of men his glorious, his mighty acts. And the glorious majesty, I can't get away from it, of his kingdom. Thy kingdom, look at it. Then he begin to focus now on the kingdom, the length. Somebody can get to power. They can reach power and they're only a few days. See, they achieve power, but it's only a few days. But what about someone is showing you that he will be there for all eternity? This is an everlasting kingdom. There's no end. His kingdom has no end. So thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You know what means? That means everlasting, never begun. And it never can end. This kingdom is always. And God purpose in his heart to give it to his children. So before fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you this kingdom. Little flock, you don't have much. You're small. In this earth, you don't have a lot. But look over. Look ahead of you what you have. It's an everlasting kingdom. and the increase of his government and peace or power, there shall be no end. Thy kingdom. Look at that. I like this. Thy kingdom. When you pray, said, Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come. What happened when the kingdom come? What happened when the kingdom come? Anybody knows what happened? The will of God will be done on earth. In other words, right now we're down in the 10 toes of the feet. It's almost over. When man's day, man's government. But when Jesus returns, it's the government of God that will take over and rule and reign upon the earth. So the earth will change. It will not be like this. John says, I see a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because the inhabitants are changed. See, you cannot renew the earth unless you renew the inhabitants. See, God has to begin with you and I and change us. It's no problem for him to change the lion or the animal kingdom or to restore what was taken away from it, to lift the clouds of war. It's the heart of man that needs to be changed. That's what God is working on. So God must put a new man into your heart, creating me a clean heart, a new heart, a right spirit, Lord. You need it. You need that spirit. You need that right spirit. You need a right heart, because the one you have is deceitful. And with this, what we have, the devil will deceive us every time because it's fallen. But when God creates in you a heart after God, a clean heart, the right spirit, what's going to happen to you? Your tongue will praise him. Praise God. You will shout for joy. You will praise the Lord. If the kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, that means he needs people that will live forever, everlasting in the kingdom. And thy dominion, endure it throughout all generation. When Jesus received the kingdom, no one will overturn it. It won't be like the first Adam, he received it, then he falls. But Jesus Christ will live and reign forever and ever. Amen? Then he says the Lord, look, what does he do? The Lord uphold it. He's your strength. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. He upholded all that fall. Remember, we fell. Adam fell. But God lifts us up. He upholded all that and raised up all those that be both bow down. It's not just you have a pain and you bow over. But in sin, when sin wrecks your life and you can't get out and you're crying and you can't get out. But when you begin to cry to Jesus, not to men, don't cry to anybody but Jesus. This poor man cried unto the Lord. Hallelujah. This poor man, he's not talking about poor in your pocket, but you didn't have anything to pay. Right? But you're poor in spirit. This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard and delivered him. That's why you're sitting here today. Because God saw your poverty and could not pay for your salvation and your deliverance. You and I, we hold too much. The devil had too much over us. But Jesus Christ came and make us more than conquerors. And help us and lift us up. We were bowed down. We were bowed down in sin. And we could not lift ourselves up. Amen. Then it goes on. The eyes of all wait upon thee. And thou givest them their meat in due season. Give us this day our daily bread. Not only pancake and bacon. Okay? That's not all. It tells us that in Deuteronomy about the word of God, it's more than your natural meat, your natural food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. How much of the word you know? The more of the word you have is the more life you have, because the word of God is life. Little word, little life. That's why you get weak And when the enemy comes against you, you fall because you don't have any strength. But strength is in the word of God. When you read that word and put that word forth, but you need to come to your senses and begin to read the word. Look, how long have you tried not reading the word or reading one verse here or there? And look how weak you are. Aren't you tired of heading for the kingdom, sickly and weak, wounded and lame? When the Bible said, and so an abundance of entrance, are you listening now, shall be ministered. That means doctor you up. The minister is a doctor that minister an abundance of entrance unto you, where you don't go into the kingdom of God limping and lame, but you will be like that man that once he was touched, he was sitting outside crippled and lame. But when he got touched by the power of God, he went into the temple leaping and walking and jumping and praising God. You ought to not just sit there wounded, but you ought to enter in the kingdom with a joyful noise, leaping and walking and praising God. Amen? And thou openest thine hand. Look at God opening his hand. Eh? You want a hand of God that's not close to you. Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And he opened it. And before you know it, he break off a big piece of the word of God and give you a big revelation, a big truth. Amen. And thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing, every living being. The desire. What's your desire? Oh, you said, oh, I just desire to have a nice house by the beach. Well, you're going to fail. Because even if you get that, that can be eaten down by termites. But you want to lay up your treasures in heaven. Nobody can break in. Nobody can hack into it or take it away from you. Nobody can discover your account. You get that now? Because heaven's bank is secure. It's laid up in Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, so, all right. They shall speak of the kingdom of God all day long, right? When Paul in the New Testament was here in the 28th chapter of the book of Acts, and the last verse, down to the verse 30 and verse 31. In the book of Acts, chapter 28, the last chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 30 and verse 31. And it says that Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired out. That means he was paying his rent. You get that? He had a house, an apartment or something like that. He was under house arrest. And he was paying, but he had to pay there. But it was the love of God in the hearts of the saints that kept the church going. I mean, kept Paul's house open. See, which was paid for. When you like those saints, begin to realize now, I've got to put something on the table of a man of God or keep the lights on. Are you listening? Eh? Keep the lights on. Amen. Sometimes we talk about tithe, people get distracted like you don't know. I'm talking to you today. Amen. See, and listen, you ought to focus on the pastor when he's talking. Amen. Not talking to somebody else or looking around and distracted, because I'm going to stay right here till you sober up. See, Paul was sustained, supported in his own hired house, got in a house, and the saints of God kept it open. Just like this year is the house of God, you're supposed to keep it open. You are supposed to keep it open. Otherwise, you will not hear the word. So when they kept the house of Paul open, his own hired house, and received all that come to him, what did he do? He was there preaching all day. And he didn't have to worry about the rent or something to eat, because there were some precious saints. It takes a few good people to build a house of God that have a heart for God, that love God enough. It takes a few good people to do that, to stand when God bless you. And when God bless you with a job, what do you do? Oh, that's all my money. No, it's not. It's not your money. It's God gave you the rest, but he takes a tenth out of that. and the first part should come out. That's a bill. Yes, that's more than your light bill. That's a bill that you owe, that you should pay. And you don't pay, you just cheat PG&E. See, you're just ripped off. But what they're going to do? They'll turn the light off. And that's what God does. He turns your lights off. That's why you don't get blessed. You wonder how you dry week after week and there's no blessing in your life? Huh? Come on. Fess up. Man up. Check it out. And you'll find out now, if I change my attitude, I must be going down the wrong road. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. That's the long time. And received daily. Everybody was just coming unto him. I like that. I like people to come and talk to me every day about God. I could talk about the Lord every day. Amen. Not talk about nobody's business. I'd like to search the scripture and hear the scripture. I would like to see some men and women of God on fire that love talk. The problem is I can't find hardly anybody that want to talk about God. Oh, amen. See, their mouth, man, they don't have that zeal. I remember one time when this church had a zeal that they talk you to death. No, they don't. They don't. They fall asleep. They're dry. They're cold. They've lost that joy. But wake up. The Bible said, Paul said, awake thou that sleepest. It's high time. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is coming back. The return of God is here. And we need to sober up. And we need to come awake and begin to gird up the loins of our minds. And like those wise virgins, awake and trim our lamps. Because the voice of the bridegroom is just out there ahead of us. And Paul dwelt 2 years, right? And many came to him. And all that came to him, he preached what? What did he preach? That's what we're heading into. Verse 31. Look at what he preached. He didn't talk about politics. He didn't talk about who's going to win the next election. He didn't care about that. One thing he cared about, because he knew that we were heading into the toast. And when that image completes its course, the times of the Gentiles, it will be toppled over by the kingdom of God. There is another kingdom. Believe it or not, the kingdom of men is almost over. You don't believe it? Ask those in Noah's day. Ask those in Lot's days. The kingdom of God is to be established upon the earth. In other words, it's a new form, a new order. God is going to overturn all of the established government that you now exist. Amen. Yes, even the one that pay your pension. Because God has a better pension plan for you. Amen. And it comes with everlasting life. Amen. Praise God. See, preaching, here's what he did. What was he doing? He was preaching the kingdom of God. All right. Preaching the kingdom of God is the government of God. That's what he was preaching. The government of God over the old earth. See what Paul was preaching? Paul was saying that there is a king and there's going to be another government. This government under Rome would come to an end because remember, Babylon was already over. Medes and Persian was already over. Greece was over. And Paul was down in Rome. Now look how Paul was urging them. How much more you think we should be urging and preaching? If he was preaching daily that the kingdom of God was at hand and the order of the kingdom, what about now? That's what the church has missed. The church has missed. And we've been caught up in riches and money that you're not going to take it anywhere. I don't care how many planes you fly. You're not going to take them anywhere. I don't care how much cars you drive, nice cars. They're not going to go. How many millions you have in the bank, you're not going to pay your way out of hell anyway. See, you've got to put God first. Eh? What is that going to do with you? Huh? What is all those planes and everything's going to go do for you? It's not going to fly you out of hell when you get there. Eh? Come on. You need to put the kingdom of God. Like, here was a man. Here was a man. He had a little roof over his head, but look what he was focused on. He was focused on preaching. Help me. He was focused on preaching the kingdom of God. What was he doing? What was he doing? He was fulfilling the Psalms 145. Where they shall speak of the kingdom of God all day. All day, they will preach of the kingdom of God. You don't wait till you get to heaven to preach it. You've got to preach it right now. Preach the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is coming back to sit on the throne of his father David. Hallelujah. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Jesus Christ is to rule and reign under government. So Paul was speaking all day. And everywhere he went, he was speaking the word of God. The kingdom of God. Now, hold your finger there and I'll come back. But in chapter 20, it tells us also that how in Miletium, in Ephesus, chapter 20. Look at, just turn your Bibles back a little bit. And chapter 20, verse 25. Look at chapter 20 and verse 25, then we'll go back to 28. It says that, and now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone, preaching what? Preaching what? Money, money, money? Money talks? Money cometh? No, that's not what he was preaching. The Bible said if you put God first, he'll give you and bless you. He said you should seek ye first. Not money, but the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And all things shall be added unto you. Do you know that God has a raven out there can drop a piece of toast or something? Huh? A piece of barbecue? Do you know that God has a little widow that can has a little oil in her and wheat that can spring up? Eh? The abundant supply of God. And with food and raiment over your head. Be contented and preach what God has given you. So he says that, and now behold, I know that ye all of you, ye all, you all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God. That's what we should be preaching. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God shall see my face no more. In other words, my ministry is almost over, Paul was saying. But what a high note to end your ministry on. He was ending on a high note. What? The kingdom of God. Because that's the same. Hold your finger there and go to the first part of the book of Acts. When Jesus, is it chapter 1? If you could find that real quick for me. That Jesus, when he was departing, what did he preach? What was his last, where is I'm looking for, his last message? In Acts, is it? 1 verse 6. 1 verse 6. Look at that real quick to show you the order of the kingdom. Let's read. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? You see what the thought was right there? A restoration of the kingdom of Israel. Do you get that? It was a restoration of the kingdom of God in Israel. Shouldn't that be what the church needs? Shouldn't that be what we should be preaching right now? A restoration of the kingdom of God. And they asked Jesus, Lord, will you at this time? And it was not at that time. But he says, look at what he says. He says in verse, help me read. And verse 7 says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father had put in his own power. But God, he's saying that God is going to do something because there's a period of time right here that God has. The Israel had not repented. Israel needed to go through another test, another suffering. Judah, Israel, all that. But because their heart was not right with God. So God has a space here of 2,000 years. So God slips in the Gentiles and call it the times of the Gentiles. And this is why you and I are here. We are filler. We fill the gap. We fill the void. That's why awesome God slip us in while he's waiting to restore Israel. He works on the Gentiles. And look at you and I today. What a hope we have. What a hope we have. But you shall receive power. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. He's saying, go back to Jerusalem and stay there, because I'm going to do something new, but you need the power of the Holy Ghost, God inside of you, to do it. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judah, and in Samaria, and look at it, and unto the utmost parts of the earth. That's why, look, it's reach out to us, the gospel. See what God is doing? So while God is to restore the Israel when they repent, then and establish his kingdom, in the meantime, he's raising up a bride. He's raising up a bride for his son, Jesus Christ, a Gentile bride. What a awesome God. And out of it, he will receive a multitude, which no man could number. All right. I was in 28. Okay. Let me go back where Paul, for 2 years, preached the word of God, right? And preaching the kingdom of God and teaching. Notice, preaching and teaching. So you have to do both. Preaching and teaching the word of God and those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. Look, you stand there and you don't work, remember, with all confidence. You're not focused on the people, whether they go up or down or serve God or not, because God is able to keep you. God is able to bless the church. God's able to keep you from falling. You cannot, if you're building a church and you're worrying about the unfaithfulness of people, because people are very unfaithful. People don't, you talk about, it's hard to nail down somebody in God where they serve God for 20 years and 30 years and 40 years. They're fickle. You know what I'm saying? Shaky, like the waves. They're up and down. They're on fire one time, and then the next time they're cold. See, lukewarm. And they don't have that zeal about it. But to find a few people in Sardis. I've got a few people in Sardis that have not spotted their garment, have not defiled their garments. You see that? Takes a few. A few people in Sardis. Are you one of those in this church? A few that you don't spot your garment? Your garment is white. You hold on to see Jesus in a pure white garment. You will not let the world defile it. You will not let the devil defile it. But when you stand before Christ, there's no splash where the devil splash ink all over your white garment. See, and you look all funny. Spotted garment. See, you have a garment spotted by the flesh. I'm talking about the flesh. Will spot your garment. And when you stand there, you're not pure like you should be pure. And you can't stand in the bride of Jesus Christ. But you become a foolish virgin. So he stood there with confidence. When you know God, you're bold. The righteous are bold as a lion with confidence. No man, hallelujah, no man for forbidding him. And let me give you a few scripture now before I close. Now, Revelations 11, somebody find it, put it up. In the 11th chapter of Revelations, start at verse 15 and verse 16. Revelations chapter 11. As soon as you find it, we begin to read. And the seventh angel sounded. And there was a great voice. And the seventh angel, let's read clear. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices. What happened to your voice? Are you reading? And there were great, if you can't find it, look up at the board. See? And there were great voices in heaven saying, what were they saying? Look on the board. Look on the board. Look at the board and read it. Come on, look on the board. Saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord. Of this world. That means the Egyptian is gone. Assyria is gone. Babylon is gone. Medo-Persia is gone. Greece is gone. Rome is gone. The 10 toes are gone. But what's reigning now? What's reigning? That little stone that break in pieces all the kingdoms and became a great mountain. Amen. And it ruled forever and ever. Says the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he, Jesus, the Son of God that died for you and I. He that came and they nailed him to the cross and he was buried. But on the third day, God raised him up. And when he went back to the Father, he sent the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you shall receive power. We've got the power. That's the Holy Ghost power. It's just for us now to use that power and to push the devil back. To push him back. Says, it become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he, Jesus, shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. Now, verse 9, chapter 19 and verse 6. And read on down. Revelation 19, verse 6. And go on down. It says, what does it say? And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. Notice, the voice of a what? Of a great multitude. And as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, I can't hear you, saying, hallelujah. Why were they shouting? Why were they praising God? For, somebody shout, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is on the earth. Jesus Christ take over. And he's seated on the right hand. And he's seated upon the throne of his father David. He left the right hand of the father. And now he's seated upon the throne of his father David as our king. And the heathen rage. Come on. The heathen uttered a vain thing. But the Bible said, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. Aren't you glad today that Jesus Christ is coming back and he's going to rule and reign forever and ever? Verse 7 said, let us be glad. Look why you're sitting out there. Hey, look at you. Look at you in misery. Look at your face. Aren't you tired of that? I was going to say ugly. I better not. That's what I was going to say, ugly face. But I can't say that. You understand that? You might get upset. But aren't you tired of seeing that ugly face? Same way, I made a mistake. See, always looking sad and down and complaining. Come on, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting. Put on a smile. Get happy in Jesus Christ. Stop being a sad sack. Stop being miserable. Let us be glad and rejoice. Look at you, sitting there still. Don't you have no joy in your face, in your life? Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. Read some more. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, and the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That's what we're getting dressed up with today. Let's read some more. And he said unto me, write. Come on, write. See, write what? See, what am I doing this morning? Writing. He said unto me, write. And your heart is the book. That's where writing it. Come on, write. What are we doing? Erasing all those evil thoughts from your conscience. Write that you're free. Write that your Redeemer liveth. Write that Jesus is coming back to rule upon the earth. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true saying of God. Next verse. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Next verse. Said, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. I like this chapter. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, that's how he's going to judge. In righteousness, he doeth judge and make war. Just like Acts 17:31, he had day appointed where he'll judge the world in righteousness. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name, here's the name that nobody knows. Here's the name. You know why? Because they don't study the Bible. They don't know to interpret the scripture. He has a name that nobody knows. You see, you get up and quote a verse of scripture or sing a little song or a little testimony, you know, and you just go around the barn, you know, and you just talk, and you don't even know where you're heading. You take off, but you don't know how to land because you don't just talk. And you like to hear yourself, self. And you just talk. And you're heading for an airport, a touchdown, but you don't know where it's at. So you just keep talking, and you don't know how to land. See? And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Next verse. And said, the army, notice that, which were in heaven. Don't you want to be in it? We used to sing the song, a white horse riding. A white horse riding. And the armies of heaven. And the armies of heaven followed him upon white horse, clothed with what? Fine linen. White and clean. Praise God. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath. Next verse. Of Almighty God. Says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Look at that. King of kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come. What was he saying? Come. Can you hear that dinner bell? Come. Supper time for the birds. And who's on the menu? You don't want to be the menu. You don't want to be on that menu. The bird's going to eat, but not me. See? Because I'll have a new body. See? Said, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. And eat that he may eat what? Look at it. The flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on it and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great, all men. Okay? The human beings. God has an answer how to eat up. But not me. Because you'll be changed in a moment. Oh yeah, you say you don't believe that. Well, all right. Ask Sodom and Gomorrah. Go ask them in the days of Noah. And I saw the beast. Now you need to listen in closing. And I saw the beast. Listen to this one. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather. Remember the same kings when the kings of the earth, chapter 2, Psalms, didn't want him to reign. The kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken in captivity. And with him the false prophet, that's the false prophet of Revelation 13, verse 11. And the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received what? The mark of the beast and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. This is second death. The beast and the false prophet go straight to to second death. That at the end of the 1,000 years, they will not resurrect. Because there's no resurrection from second death. At the second coming of Christ, he laid hands on the dragon, I mean the beast, and cast them into second death. That's where you don't want to head. Second death. Are you following now? Because there's no resurrection from second death. And the remnant were slain, is it? Were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. Where do you think the sword comes from? His mouth. That's the word of God. You got that sword today. Let the high praise of God be in your mouth. And a sharp two-edged sword. Which sword proceeded out of his mouth? And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Amen and amen.